Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You must be the science officer.
I am.
Do you know the speed of propagation of subspace radio signals in long-range communications?
I believe it is roughly 52,000 times the speed of light.
Really? Wow, that's super slow. No wonder you have to use subspace relays. At those distances, the signals would degrade long before they were received, even when radially polarized.
I do not know many your age who grasp...
Prekcast.
All right, we're recording.
I love that you complain about this, but you set it up.
I know. I set it up, and I'm complaining about it. It's ridiculous.
He's like, ah, I'm just the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Who designed this?
Yeah, there's got to be a better way. So, and I'm sure there will be as I continue to just constantly change the way this... setup is. I'm always changing it. So, in fact, I've got three letters I got to put up on the wall back here that go underneath Trekcast. Because Trekcast is number one, and then right below it, it'll say Eve. So,
are we recording?
We are recording. Yes, we are recording.
Nice.
Yep. So, got a small audience with us this morning in the live chat. Just two, Chaz Biz and Lumberjack Daryl, two guys who are almost always here every Sunday, it seems like. So that's cool. Although I didn't ping for a live on-air show, did I? So I better do that.
Well, and I've got it going on YouTube right now. So.
Live show now.
I did some yard work yesterday. I cleaned out the screened-in porch, and I inhaled a ridiculous amount of pollen.
Oh, no.
So, you know, those watching the show just saw me mute my mic and sneeze repeatedly, and I'm sure I sound gruff and nasally right now.
A little bit,
yeah.
But.
So, just be prepared for more of that.
Nice.
That time of year. Yeah. It's just getting super hot. We got a heat wave coming through here today, which I love how all of a sudden it's just, oh my gosh, danger, heat wave. What's the high? 89. Go away. It's not a heat wave.
Yeah.
What's it going to be there in Idaho?
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be wild, apparently.
It's always crazy. Wild
it's
in
been
Idaho.
Over here lately.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We're making national news this week, so that's
mm-hmm,
fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's crazy is, oh, I don't know, sounds so much like Idaho. Idaho, oh, I don't know. Like, that should be the state motto.
It should.
It seems that way. Yeah.
Oh, well. All right, so.
Somebody in our YouTube live chat just said it's 115 where he's at.
So he's in the desert.
He's on Vulcan.
Yeah.
He's on Vulcan.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's 6 a.m. in Vulcan. Yeah. 101 in Oklahoma. Yeah. See, that's a heat wave.
Yeah.
So.
It's nuts.
Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah. It's summertime, right? I mean, I was just in Minnesota 3 weeks ago now. Yeah. I think it was 3 weeks ago when I was in Minnesota. Maybe four. I don't know. I lose track of time.
Shoveling snow?
Yeah, it was snowing. It was 31. So, I mean, you know, up in mini Snowda. But, yeah, so it is what it is. It's called.
We should tell people what you really do, that you play bass for some sort of, like, 80s cover band.
That's what my hair looks like today, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It needs a cut so bad. It's starting to wave and curl like a seagull. My wife hates it.
It's
it
very
pike. Don't cut it. Yeah, you'll never be made captain of the Enterprise if you cut that off.
That's what I'm going for. I really honestly want to try to... I mean, I've got enough gray hair where I don't really have to dye it, but yeah, I might just finally break down and go through that fourth wall, through that barrier, and become Captain Pike. Get the uniform and the whole nine yards. Get some contact lenses and no glasses and just totally do it. Shave the beard. But I'm going to have to lose about 20 pounds to try to get to his physique. Yeah. Maybe a little more. Maybe a little more. You guys have seen me, so it's probably a little more.
You got to take a shuttle to Pound Town?
That sounds like a stripper pole coming. Not a workout.
It's Riker's favorite place.
It is Riker's favorite place.
Now I want to see, like, in Picard season 3, they got to put some scenes where, like, we come to find out that Riker's whole game is based on him studying Pike on the holodeck. Like, I want to see some scenes of him going back and, you know, talking to holodeck. Like, you know, Data would talk to, you know, Sir Isaac Newton or whatever.
And, right.
Yeah. Come to find out that Riker, he didn't know shit about shit. He was just asking holographic Pike, what do you think I should do? Well, you got to, you know, grab her this way and do this.
And that's why. Yeah. And that's why he never wanted to leave the Enterprise, because that was one of the only few places the holodeck program was allowed for Pike was on the Enterprise.
You know, in the news, I do have some updates about Picard season 3 and Geordi.
What? Yeah. Well, the update is Geordi didn't even know that file existed.
Yeah. Finale episode of Strange New Worlds is Riker looking at a holodeck with Pike.
There you go. That's it.
Vina. Yeah. I'd forgotten her name the other day when I was talking to the chat, and then I finally remembered it. But
yeah.
And I meant Vina from TOS was definitely good looking, but Vina from the couple of episodes in Discovery is my favorite version of her, and definitely better looking than the redhead this week. So we'll get into it. But I have a thing for redheads too. So she was cute. Okay. Cute for an older woman. Anyway, you want to get into the news?
Older woman? What?
She did look older, didn't she? She looked older.
No.
No, she had prosthetics to make her look vaguely alien.
Yeah, but it made her look older, and her neckline made her, I don't know, whatever. She looked older. She didn't look like she was young. She's 40. Yeah,
I mean, see, Chad's fashion corner.
She's my age.
I didn't see her grandkids walking in on them, so, I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's an appropriate age for Pike, we'll put it that way. At least she's not like 25. Okay. That would have been
Hey. Every age is an appropriate age for, well, not every age. Every age over the age of consent is an appropriate age for Christopher Pike.
Dude, so I follow Anson Mount on Instagram, on our
Everyone
Instagram
account. Everyone follows Anson Mount everywhere he goes.
As they should.
Yeah. Everywhere he goes. Yeah.
Dude, this week he has been posting just tons of videos. I guess like his daughter's eating solid foods now. And it is just a little kid in a mess everywhere.
Yeah.
And it is hilarious to watch. Yeah.
Kids that age are fun. They're so much fun. Yeah. I miss my girls being that age.
Well, should we start the news?
Yeah, let's get into the news. I think we're ready for it.
Start this train wreck.
There we go.
Attention all hands. It's time for Star Trek news.
Take it away, Daniel.
All right. So our first news story comes to us from MovieWeb.com, and it is LeVar Burton opens up about reprising Geordi LaForge's role for Star Trek Picard. So LeVar basically gave an interview to Yahoo News and talked a lot about it. He said, you know, of course, some of the basic things you'd expect to hear, that they had a lot of fun playing together and being together. He says that typically, most years around Christmas, they all try to have a get together, and they haven't been able to because of COVID. Yeah. And then it just so happened that when they shot Picard season 3 was right around Christmas time, so they got to do that, and that was fun for him. on top of that, we learned a little bit of a spoiler for season 3. So, spoiler alert.
All right.
But Geordi himself says that it was fun to play on a lot of levels. He also got to play with his real-life 27-year-old daughter, Mika Burton. She's going to be playing one of Geordi's two daughters.
I thought we'd heard that she was going to be on the show. Maybe not.
We'd heard that she was going to be on the show, but we didn't know in what capacity.
Okay.
So now she's going to be playing his daughter. So big acting stretch. But that's cool. Yeah.
Well, I mean, so we know that LeVar grew up, found his way around women, and had kids. Good.
Well, LeVar did, but what about Geordi?
That's
well,
what I mean.
You know,
she's playing his daughter in the show. So, yeah, Geordi, I mean.
If you think about it, the only way to retroactively fit this reputation that the character has of never scoring with the women is we got to give the character a 35-year-old child. This way, it's abundantly clear. It's abundantly clear that he crossed that threshold 3.5 decades ago.
At some point,
right.
At least
so,
once.
Yeah.
So he's going to have two daughters, so at least he scored twice.
Okay, twice.
And okay. Yeah, so that's good. And then he did say, you know, that he was very happy to put on his spacesuit again. He had a great time, and if they want him to play Geordi again, he'd be open to it. But if he never plays Geordi again, he's totally cool. So there you go.
His spacesuit, not a uniform, huh? So obviously he doesn't die.
Predictions. Mm-hmm. Who's the mother of these kids? Is it Leah Brahms or somebody else? What do you guys think?
It'll be never mentioned, and it'll just be vaguely referenced.
What do you think, Chad?
Yeah, I don't think they'll reference it. I don't think they might reference it, but they won't reference the person's name. As in, like, you know, how's she holding up? It'll be some sort of little whatever. Yeah. Or maybe they just won't mention it at all because she died. That'll probably be what they do to poor old Geordi, you know?
Oh, it's going to be Keiko.
Oh, God.
Her and Miles divorced.
That would be
hilarious. And Geordi swooped in.
You know what would be hilarious is if they did use a Voyager, it's one of the twins from Voyager. That's who it is.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's one of them salamander babies.
What were the twins' names? Kira.
Delaney sisters.
Delaney sisters. He married one of the Delaney sisters. Or Akira gives birth to both of his kids, and he never actually has a wife. That's perfect. James.
You know, it would be awesome how they could fix this. They could fix his reputation and do what you're saying. It's both Delaney sisters. He's married to both of them.
There you go.
He's like, hey, it's the 25th century. I do what I want.
No.
What if they say it's 7 of 9? They had a fling.
Oh boy, no, they won't. Yeah. I bet you know if they here's my opinion on this. Here's the two ways they should handle this. If they're smart, the writers of Strange New Worlds are smart, so got to give them some credit here. Maybe some things will bleed over for season 3. I don't know.
Right.
So if they're smart, they do one of two things. Number one, never mention it. Never say a word about his wife. Don't know who it is, and they just leave it out there in ether, which I'm fine with. It's less complicated. It leaves a little bit of mystery. That's good. Number two, she died. When both kids were very small, and she died on Mars during that attack. Is timeline okay for that? For those kids to be that young, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that would give some more weight to that whole thing. That would give. I mean, that would because he was there. Remember, we know he was there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That would be a nice tie-in to what's happened so far and give some weight and background to his character. Maybe we come and see him at a time when he's not doing so well. Maybe he suffered for a really long time, or maybe he's better now, or maybe he's just, I don't know, who knows. But that's, maybe it's, it's Raffi.
What if his wife was Soji? She's a time traveler. She could have showed up in the past.
She's a robot. That would be the only way that Geordi would score is with a human drone that he programmed himself.
He built his wife.
His kids are androids.
Yes.
Poor Geordi.
Poor Geordi LaForge.
All right. So speaking about fantasy, our next news story comes to us from Inverse.com. And this is kind of stretching the definition of Star Trek news, but whatever. I thought it was kind of fun.
Oh, boy.
Fantastic Four leak reveals bold changes are coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the big change, allegedly, is that the new Fantastic Four movie is going to be very inspired by Star Trek. Allegedly.
Say that again?
What that means, we have no idea. They have said in the past that Star Trek has inspired, like, Endgame and Infinity War. And I know that Kevin Feige is a major Trekkie, so could be some truth to this, that he wants Fantastic Four to be a little Star Trek-ish. I'm guessing what they mean by that is that, because Fantastic Four originally was, like, very into exploration and new discoveries, so I'm thinking that's what they mean by that.
Yeah.
Not spacesuits and a Federation and Klingons and...
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Marvel right now, I just don't get the whole where they're at with Phase 48 and everything going on. I have a hard time following it. I've only watched half the movie.
Yeah, there's too much.
There's too much. It's all over the place. I don't really care for some of the main characters. It's not Iron Man and Captain America. So, but
anyway, right.
Kind of Captain
America. Yeah, okay.
So interesting. I mean, you know, I do like the Fantastic Four. I've liked all of those films. I even liked the train wreck that was the latest one with Miles Teller.
Oh, you like that one?
I kind of did. It was a shit treatment of the franchise, but I don't know.
I would have liked to have seen what the director wanted to do, because I know that they took away the editing from him.
That's right.
So
that movie was supposed to, because that was a Fox thing. Fox had the rights to that at
I
the time.
So,
and that movie was, eventually they were supposed to roll that into, they were supposed to do a mini MCU. They were supposed to roll that into the X-Men universe and have a shared thing going on, except it tanked. So they were like, nope. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they destroyed Reed Richards in that movie. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's on Disney Plus right now. You can go watch it if you want.
That's okay.
Yeah, I can't keep up with watching all the things that are on right now anyway. So, yeah.
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 No thanks.
Okay, and our last news story comes to us from TrekMovie.com. And get ready for this. Nicholas Meyers has another update on the SETI Alpha 5 Con prequel series.
This is SETI Alpha 5!
Sorry. Right. Go ahead. Now he's saying that it's going to be a podcast.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. He recently spoke to the Page One Writers podcast, and Nicholas Meyers replied that it's going to be a podcast. He says it's not a joke. I am concluding a deal to turn it into a podcast that he will write and presumably direct. He says if the podcast is a hit, they may revisit it in a film or something like that. He's not sure, but it's going to be a dramatic, like, radio play style podcast, very similar to what the popular Batman Unchained that's going on right now on Spotify that people are loving. It's like the top podcast on Spotify. So
that's fine.
They're gonna try and get some of that sweet Blue Chew money or whatever. I can't wait for Khan to be like, you know what I hate? A rough night on a bad mattress. Buy these men.
I mean, you know, if you're Nicholas Meyers and you've got work put into this script and no one's buying it at Paramount, no one's taking it, no one wants it, do something with it. I guess that's a good, cheap way to get it out there and do something with it that may or may not get traction. So that's kind of smart, actually, from that standpoint. If you've already put effort into it, it wouldn't be that difficult to get a couple of guys in the studio for a week and pound it out. So,
right.
You know?
You take that to Pound Town.
To Pound Town. I guess that's this week's episode title, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
Set a course for Pound Town.
Oh, Lord. All right.
Yeah. That's all the news.
All right. Yeah. All right, sounds good. So we'll go right into, we don't do feedback now. Now we do topic, right?
Right. We go straight into topic.
Straight into topic. Here
I know,
we go.
It's wild.
It is wild. It goes fast.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're talking about Episode 6 this week of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which was called Lift Us Where Suffering Cannot Reach, which, as it turns out, is a poem, I guess, or some sort of fairy tale or something like that that comes from Majalis's past, their history. And the Doctor.
I thought it was Smashing Pumpkin lyrics.
Oh, that's right. It was Smashing Pumpkin lyrics. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, what?
No, the Doctor recites this poem, and that's where the title comes from when he's lab with Mbenga and the kid. So, so this was a very, very interesting episode. That took away quite a bit, actually, from this one. I don't know if I can say it's my favorite one so far out of the six. But if it's not number one, it's number two.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
There's a lot that happens in this episode. We see Pike fail miserably for the first time. And it's just, and this is also the first, what I would call, I guess.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The first Pike-centric episode since the opener, really. I mean, this episode's really all about Pike, and everything else going on is the B story, or C story. So, yes, Chaz, I loved this planet as well. There's this planet, every
time
you see...
They went to Cloud City.
They went to Cloud City, but it also sounded like Naboo from the Star Wars prequels. Every time you'd see the planet, and you'd see the flowers, and everybody cheering, and you'd hear the sound playing in the background, I kept thinking of Naboo. I don't know. So, I don't know why I did, but I did. So... The planet's beautiful with the lava. You know, it's all beautiful up on top in the clouds, and underneath it, it's hell, which is so which is so fitting.
Yeah.
So the synopsis of this episode basically is that they're going to Majalis. I forget why. Yeah, it did. It looked like Bioshock Infinite. You're right. They're going to Majalis.
It's a distress call.
Didn't they say they were already going there? But yeah, maybe that's distress call anyway. On a shuttlecraft that's under attack, they go in to investigate. They put a tractor beam on the shuttlecraft, or actually they beam the people that are under attack on board. And then meanwhile the shuttlecraft ends up getting the cruiser, I guess, that's attacking ends up getting blown out of the sky on accident by Uhura. Oops,
Well, because they moved the moment she fires.
They moved. Yeah. Sorry, they moved. Oops. It reminded me of Worf when he accidentally blew up that little ship that was like supposedly overpowered with weapons or whatever. And Worf was like, oops.
And Picard looked at him like, dude.
Dude, I said a warning shot, you know. But at any rate, so they blow that up and they've got to investigate the crash scene. Uhura goes down with Singh. To do the investigation. She's on her rotation in security this week, so there's a lot of interesting things that happened there. Very interesting things that happened there, actually. And then, of course, the people that beam on board turns out to be one of Pike's old lovers from 10 years ago. Now, that reference from 10 years ago, here's a little Easter egg, means that he was a lieutenant at the time, And from that 10 years ago, that had put it at 2249, and that was 1 year before he became captain of the Enterprise. So the last time he saw this lady, Alora, he was lieutenant, and a year later he was captain of the Enterprise. So that's an interesting little tidbit.
So he went from lieutenant to lieutenant commander to captain in 1 year?
In 1 year.
Yeah.
So they kind of screwed that up a little bit.
That's almost like J.J. Kirk going from cadet to captain. Anyway, continue.
It's Pike, right? So someone might have died.
It's the same producers as those movies. Doesn't matter.
Right. Well, I mean, you look at it, too, from the standpoint of sometimes you get a promotion because you're good at what you do and you deserve it. Sometimes you get a promotion because the guy in front of you died.
Right.
So.
Like a Klingon ship.
Just like a Klingon ship. Anyway, so we come to find out that the three that are on the shuttlecraft trying to get to Majalis, or they're on a moon, I guess, doing some sort of ceremonial ritual with this kid, the first servant. And they have to escort them back for some ceremony. And so that's where all the intrigue begins. You think that these people that are attacking them are an alien race offshoot that just means them harm, or they're just trying to kidnap him for money. Turns out not to be the case. A lot happens in this episode. It's a great episode. What did you guys think of it overall before we get into the details?
I enjoyed it.
I really liked it. I liked that it was a pretty good moral quandary as the episode unfolds. It was pretty deep. There was a lot to it.
Hey, let's start with the first moral quandary. Pike beds this woman in like the first 15 minutes.
That's not a moral quandary.
Not really, but I mean, he's captain of the ship. He's not a lieutenant. He's not a lieutenant commander. He's not the first officer. He's the captain of the ship. And this is a non-Federation aligned world for reasons. We don't really know why they didn't align with the Federation, but just reasons.
They didn't align with the Federation because they would have to divulge all their dirty little secrets, like we kill kids downstairs.
Right, right.
Right.
So, that's the simple answer.
That's the simple answer, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But she wants to show him that. I found that very interesting that she wanted him to see it.
Well, because she doesn't see it as a bad thing. She sees it as like, that's part of what they have to do. So to her, it's right. Like, him getting to know more about that.
So there's the quandary, you know, if for them, if they don't see it as a bad thing and it's a noble thing and it's a noble sacrifice, especially with the comment that she makes. She makes a very good, interesting comment about this. I don't see why that would be the one reason they wouldn't join the Federation in order to not tell them, right? Because to them it's good and proper. And she actually makes a somewhat of an argument.
Religion and culture are like, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Go for it.
Here's the thing with religion and culture. You know, when you're looking at your own religion and your own culture, things seem totally normal to you because that's what you were brought up to believe. That's what you were indoctrinated to believe. But if you actually take a step back and look at things, there's some crazy shit, even in our own Western religions, that if you look at it from outside, you're like, this is bonkers.
Yeah.
This is bonkers. But it's totally acceptable to you as part of that community. And, you know, I don't want to upset anybody here. I'm just, you know, I'm just going to throw a couple things out, but, you know, Christians talk about eating their God and drinking his blood.
I was just thinking of that example.
And the way that it's portrayed is, well, no, he gave it to us. He gave up himself to us. You know, so when you spin it that way, it's like, yeah, okay. But then if you look at it from the other point of view, it's like, no. It's vampirism and cannibalism on Sunday morning. So
other cultures called it that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And to make sure we're fair and not just, and I'm not just dumping on Christianity, but, you know, Judaism. I mean, we have a big party to cut a portion of the kid's penis off. And when you take a minute and step back and look at it, you're like, whoa, what are we doing here?
Right.
Imagine having to explain those things to someone from another planet and explain how normal they are. Or, you know, if we want to go to, you know, one of the other major religions in the world and talk about, you know, female circumcision that goes on. How do you justify that? So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the name of religion that just makes zero sense whatsoever. But it's totally normal to people inside the circle. And I think they portrayed that pretty well here.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it a good episode and a powerful episode. And, you know, if anything I said upset you, send us an email to Dan doesn't give out his email at trekcast.com.
And there's a reason for that.
There you go.
So the communion thing on my end is a symbolism for the Last Supper. The bread that was broken at the Last Supper, the wine that was drank at the Last Supper, and the blood that was spilt by him to make a sacrifice for all those that would come after. That's the way that I look at it.
Except that, you know what? I was brought up in the Roman Catholic Church, and they specifically say it's not symbolism. They specifically, they believe that there's a transformation occurring up on that altar. And that bread
that's
and wine,
one of the big differences between Catholic and Protestant.
That's
they believe
strange.
There's a physical transformation that's occurring, and that bread is becoming flesh and that wine is becoming blood. So
that's just
strange. And for those listening to the audio version, that was me doing the big shrug. So welcome to Religion Cast.
Indeed.
Wow.
We're here, we're guaranteed to alienate 50% of the audience.
Right.
If I hadn't already alienated 90% of the other.
That's true.
Right. Now let's talk about Scientology.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there's another one.
Right.
There's another one. Holy. Yeah.
Those guys are batshit crazy. Yeah. Anyway.
There's all sorts, but you're right. This episode did do a good job about showing those differences and, like, you know, people think it's fine and it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, she makes a point that's worth at least thinking about, and it makes me think anyway, as far as the Federation goes, it's not all utopia and shiny and pretty and perfect for everybody inside of the Federation. And we know that based off of everything that we've seen before. And she kind of throws that right in Pike's face. The whole is there no child that goes hungry inside of your Federation? Is there no child that goes wanting? Is there no is there no suffering inside of your Federation? The only difference is we actually talk about it.
They tell you what the allegory means right away.
Right away.
You know, and if you think about it, they've been really careful over the years to not equate Earth with the Federation. Earth is a utopia. There's no crime on Earth. There's no disease on Earth. Nobody wants for anything on Earth. But Earth is one planet out of a federation of 150 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we know there's shitty places. Tashiyar grew up in one of them.
Right.
So,
was that planet she grew up on part of the Federation or not?
I don't remember if it was a colony or a failed colony or something, but I mean, she's human. So,
I remember being a colony of some kind. I don't necessarily remember it being like a whole planet that was part of the Federation. I just remember it being a colony. But yeah, who knows? Like, I mean,
either way, I mean, she was a Federation citizen. She was a human being.
Does being a human being make you an automatic member of the Federation?
I would think, you know what? In my head canon, I equate it to Israel. No, I'm serious.
Okay.
You know, if you are a Jew, it does not matter where you are born in the world, you are a citizen of Israel.
Okay. Well, that's different because that's a race.
And I
guess a human race, but
Yeah, well,
humans
race.
Are race.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a race inside of the human race. When you're saying it's a human, if 100 people take a colony ship and go settle a planet 50 light years outside of Federation space, that doesn't make that a Federation planet.
That's the other question that I've had over the years that I've never really gotten an answer for. All of these Federation colonies, are they automatically I mean, I guess they're part of the Federation, but do they have a seat on the Federation Council? I mean, no taxation without representation. how does all that work? I would love to find out.
I don't think they even know.
Yeah.
I don't think they've gotten that deep into it. I mean, look at the Maquis. They were Federation colonists, and then they were like, nah, screw you. We're going to do our own thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Federation was saying, no, you're a Federation colony and you can't. So,
right.
Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of sticky.
There's enough room that it can be whatever they want it to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is fine. Which is fine.
They're unshackled from canon.
Well, it doesn't have to necessarily be that it's unshackled from canon. It can be that, just like in real world, right? Case by case, it's different. There are rules set in place, but they're not the kind of rules that tie you down to specifics because things are messier than that, right? And so a case-by-case
After having listened to the Alex Kurtzman interview, I guarantee that's the answer you would get.
Oh, my God.
Which is not necessarily a wrong answer, but...
Yeah, you tell me when you want to play some of these clips you've got. So... Okay.
Oh, yeah. We've got quite a few.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Yep.
Not yet though.
No, not yet. Yeah. So,
as somebody said, I think Taryn said, I was the first servant for everyone by listening to this interview.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
Yeah.
So I noticed something about Mbanga.
Yeah.
Is it me or is his uniform lighter than Spock's? Have they made a differentiation between science and medical?
It sure looks lighter because it looks more like Bones' uniform than it does anything else, which is one of the things I love about what they've done to the medical bay. When you walk in there and look at it, it looks like the JJ movies medical bay, but their uniforms and their instruments and everything else look more like TOS. There's this weird balance they did there, and I love it. I love his uniform.
So
I love that
we have to see them. I want to see them side by side. That's really the only way to know, because I feel like the lighting in sick bay is very, 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 very bright.
Well,
and I'm not sure if this is a lighting thing that we always see him in sick bay, so his uniform always looks lighter.
Maybe. Well, we see the two of them both in sickbay this week, and I didn't notice it. Didn't catch my eye.
I didn't think about it until afterwards.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll have to go back.
Yep.
Yeah. Hmm. On the Will Wheaton show, they did do like a big breakdown on all the props, and it was pretty funny looking at the props and some of the differences. And one of the things they kept mentioning was the cost of the props, and like some of the weird things that they did to create them. Apparently they have three different types of phasers. They're all look the same, but like one is one that they actually use for like close-ups for like fighting. Another one is literally just a big rubber one that sits in their holster that isn't that detailed. It's just kind of there. And then like they have a third one that's also rubber that if they're in like a fight, that if somebody accidentally gets hit with it, it's fine. It's not going to hurt them. Whereas the close-up shot one is like really like pretty heavy duty and like it could hurt somebody. So that's the three different types they have.
Interesting. Surprised they're rubber instead of, well, I guess rubber would be softer, but I mean, 3D printing these things is so damn simple anymore. I don't know why they don't do that.
Yeah.
Chaz in the chat says the Crusher's jacket was lighter on Next Generation. So might not be the first time they've done this.
Another thing they pointed out was in the communicators, you know, when they flip it open, it's got that weird little like kind of screen.
Mm-hmm.
That screen is an iPod Nano. that they just uploaded an image into.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought people would like that.
I've wondered the tablet that Mbenga uses. I wonder if that's an iPad, and they've or it's a Surface, and they've put that slick case thing around it because it's a white casing that they've put around it, and you can see where it's sectioned. You can see lines in it, and I even
well,
saw.
Well, we know
it
the
like
tricorders are just flip phones. They're those Samsung flips. So.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting. We've come full circle from the next generation using pads and having pads all over the place, and that was a cool new thing to now in Strange New Worlds are literally sticking iPads and iPod Nanos and flip phones into the show to go the other way.
It's so funny when you watch TNG now and like somebody walks in with just a stack of pads and like, oh, here, I got a whole bunch of paperwork for you. Just imagine somebody coming to you at work and handing you 12 iPads. Be like, can you sign these?
Yeah.
Well, like they were showing on
It'd
the
be
phaser.
Like Kindles.
Yeah.
Well, funny enough,
they,
you say
they were
that,
showing
though.
On the phaser.
Go ahead. Sorry.
There's a little button on the back to set it either to kill or stun, and all that button is just a light. So you hit the light once, and it's like on stun. You hit it again, and it's kill. And it's just because like. It goes first. It goes blue, then it goes red for kill, and that's.
Ouch.
And then you just hit it again, and it turns off the light.
Oops, that's an accident waiting to happen if it's a real phaser.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No. I was gonna say if you look at modern day tablets and you look at what people are doing with tablets, whether it's an iPad or an Amazon Fire, Samsung knockoff, whatever, or if you look at a Kindle, and they're Paperwhite. You could see that, you know, for something like that, because there's not a whole lot of room on those, you could see having to have multiple ones of those to store all of your books on. And then you can go one step farther, and there's the Remarkable tablet, which if you've seen that, it's a very thin little tablet for writing, and it does anything you write on it, it turns it into text. And I could see people needing a couple of those just because of the size constraint. It's so thin. It feels like you're writing on paper. It's fantastic. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of almost feels like going backwards from an iPad, but yet it's more capable from a writing standpoint. So you could still need multiple ones of those for signing a document or writing something out. So
I want to see like a writing sample from humans in the 25th century.
Oh God!
Like all of their handwriting is atrocious. Every single one of them.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Because like nowadays, even like kids' handwriting is so much worse.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean,
because they all text.
Well, and I mean, it's kind of sad. The loss of true handwriting skills is kind of sad, but at the same time, it's not needed. You know,
right.
When you're trying to teach a kid. Look at the amount of stuff you have to learn between the time you're 6 and 16 nowadays versus when we were kids. And it's only going to get worse.
100 years ago, just about everybody knew how to slaughter an animal. Now, like, hardly anyone knows.
No one has a slaughter. Yeah, exactly. You don't need to. You know, and you can learn that on the job if you end up having that kind of either. There's so much that has to be packed in that 10 years. Because by the time you hit 16, now you're just learning the details of the things you already know. And it's harder to learn brand new things from that point on.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, not that you can't. It's just harder. So you have to cram a lot in, and you have to give up something somewhere. So there's too much to learn. There's too many basics. But anyway, it would be interesting. They'd probably look like hieroglyphics instead of letters at that point. 500 years in the future. All right, so we get a reference from Alora, another little Easter egg, I guess. We get a reference from Alora that when she calls him Lieutenant Pike, And he was at one point he was Captain Robert April's first officer. So, and I thought it was really funny when they get the introduction and they're sitting there talking on the, he can't remember Una's name.
Yeah.
He stumbles.
He was so flustered.
He was so flustered. He was like, oh my God, it's her. Mm-hmm. It's the redhead I never knew I needed.
Yeah.
But it's Lieutenant Commander Una Chen Riley. Have we ever heard her full name like that? I know it's Riley heard, but I didn't know if I heard Chen Riley.
Yes, we've heard it a few times.
Okay, okay.
We heard that.
Okay. It sounded familiar, but then I was kind of like, huh, I don't know if I heard the whole thing, but whatever.
It was nice that we saw in just a 5-minute period, we saw his swagger go from here all the way down to here. When he when he has them open a channel to the other ship and he says, you know, you've committed an act of aggression on this ship. They've requested our help. I'm required by Federation law and my own conscience to intervene. That was just so, I don't know. It was so boss the way, he said that. He's basically saying the law says I have to do this, but even if it didn't, I would do it because I want to. So, you know, back off. And it was just a level of swagger that was, you know, he was a 12 on the 1 to 10 swagger scale.
Yeah.
As always.
And then she beams in and he's like,
Right. Right.
Which, I mean, you know, if they had a real romantic affair, but never went anywhere and they both wanted it to, but couldn't back then. Yeah. Threw him for a loop. Yeah. He figured he'd never see this woman again. And where he's at right now, which is what this whole season kind of really correlates to, is his ability to continue to navigate through life, being who he is and knowing what's coming for him.
Yeah.
And that is all consuming.
Even
though some episodes we don't hear a lot about it, it's all consuming. So, and I do like in this episode that they were able to, getting back to Mbenga and sick bay, we brought up his daughter again. All right. It's still there. It's still a thing. And oh, by the way, the one thing he's looking for, he just found.
Yeah.
And he can't have it.
Yeah.
But we do leave the episode off with the doctor from Majalis, however it's pronounced, at least giving him some insight. He's going to be nice and give him some insight.
Mm. Yeah, to save his daughter.
Yeah. So he gives him some insight on a working theory anyway about how to do it. So that was interesting.
Yeah. That's cool. You had to figure that story had to progress a little bit in some way.
Yeah. It did progress a little bit, which was nice. And I like the tie-in of the kid finding the girl and playing with her, and that was cool.
Oh, I got to say, I was very impressed by that kid actor.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
Job with,
Yeah. He did.
I was also impressed with Pike's Lieutenant Singh impression. That was pretty good.
Beware of lesson number 7.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to work for her. She's kind of a dick.
She is. She is, but she's great. I love it.
I get the feeling that she's very competent.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? You want to work with someone who's competent, even if they're a little bit of, I mean, because at the end of the day, she's a little bit of a dick, but that's because she's hard and she's good at what she does and she expects you to be good at what you do. Yeah. And oh, by the way, a nice little tie-in here. When Uhura does good at what she's supposed to do and goes above and beyond by deciphering those chips they find on the ship, you know, Singh doesn't do what most dick bosses do and just take the glory and the credit for herself. Yep. She makes sure Uhura gets the credit. That is a good person to work for. That is the kind of person you want to work for because you know exactly where they stand. You know what they're going to do. You can expect it and you just perform. That's all just perform. Right. Just do your job the best you can and we'll be great. And that's the kind of boss you want to work for. So,
yeah,
I do like Singh. I like Singh a lot. Oh, and I almost forgot, too, when the lady beams on, there's a nice little cute little reference there to when she says his uniform is yellow and he corrects her and says it's gold.
Right. He says that a couple times.
He does a few times. It's kind of funny. So,
yeah.
Yep.
All right. Should we do some feedback?
Yeah, let's do some feedback.
Yeah, I think we're ready for it. Oh, do you want to do these clips? Or oh, I said you're going to play these for the guys doing feedback. That's right. I keep thinking.
Yeah, yeah. That way they can react to it and we can with them. And yeah.
All right. Sounds good. We'll play the feedback.
Hailing frequencies. Open.
All right, so first off is going to be Mr. Chaz. Mr. Chaz, you are now unmuted, sir.
Okay.
How'd you like the episode this week?
I actually liked it. It was definitely Star Trek this week.
Yeah.
I mean, it like the whole crew worked together, didn't show off anybody really, and they had a moral dilemma right here, and it was old school Star Trek.
It was very TNG episode, yes.
Yeah, and I liked it. Whereas, you know, the Orville this week was like a TNG episode, but it was an hour and 15 minutes, and it was just like, oh my gosh, how long is this episode going to go?
So, yeah, that was a little bit long.
It was like the worst TNG episode.
Yeah, it was too drawn out. Like,
The
first 30 minutes, like, man, they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
So did they watch the motion picture or something and just draw it out?
No, that was the first episode where you could tell they watched too much of the motion picture because we kept getting shots of the outside of the ship every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Exactly. I want jokes.
Yeah.
That's what that show's for. Yeah.
Yeah. This episode I really liked. I like Mbenga, you know, you get to see more, you know, his dilemma with his daughter. And the thing is, they got to find a cure for his daughter this season because she's going to age up next season.
Right.
Because she's going to be a man and she's going to be a foot taller. And they're going to be like, oh, crap, we need to solve this quick.
That doesn't matter. I mean, the kids on the Orville are like teenagers now. They were toddlers.
That's true.
Oh, my Lord.
And it's so obvious. Well, it's like watching Stranger Things right now. You see the kids. They're like the Harry Potter kids where they just,
boom,
by the end, they're going to be like 30.
Yep.
So. Right. Well, kids grow up.
Kids do grow up fast.
And that's the thing is, like I said, if you beam her in and all that and keep on showing her, they've got to find the cure this season. I think this was kind of the Easter egg of like him trying to find it, like,
yeah,
and then maybe towards the end of the season he'll cure, and that's what I think.
You know, I could see them where he maybe takes off in his own shuttle and he's like, I'm on my way to go find a cure.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, like, it's left ambiguous,
and you might get another doctor next season. You might get the drunk doctor, the old man.
There you go.
From the pilot.
Yeah.
You know, had like a whole like case of alcohol. So.
Right. Right.
And yeah, maybe they'll have a rotating doctor. I think that'd be kind of neat.
That would be cool.
I think it would be cool.
Each season you get a different character as the doctor. That'd be kind of fun just to have like a new character each season you kind of focus on. And then they either die or get shipped off to another ship.
Yeah, or even if you have a thing where they don't have a doctor for a little while and Chapel's kind of taken over, and then one of the running jokes is they're trying to get a doctor, and every once in a while Pike throws in a Dr. McCoy. I'd love to try to get Dr. McCoy on this ship, you know, but they never can.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be funny.
Or it would be funny if, like, Pike knows about McCoy and he's just like, I don't like that guy. He's too gruff.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's just a salty old bastard.
I'm friends with his ex-wife. She took the planet from him. I like her, not him.
Or he maybe did something with his ex-wife. So.
Yeah.
The Pike maneuver?
The Pike maneuver. Or the Pike's flying tackle, Kirk style, that he does to one of those guards.
Yeah,
he runs and jumps on him sideways, throws his hands out to the side. That was hilarious.
Like, did he drop his phaser? What is he doing?
I don't know. I liked how he told the guy it's not set to stun.
Well, tell you what, Chad's busy. So during the Will Wheaton show, there was a big long interview with Alex Kurtzman, the now Grand Poobah of Star Trek, and we pulled out some quotes and some clips from this Let's listen to one of them. Let's do the respecting canon one, and we'll have you listen to it, and we can all react to it afterwards. It's interesting.
Here it goes. Yeah. Give it a second.
In this week's episode,
yeah,
we meet a former flame of Captain Pike's, mm-hmm. Allura, mm-hmm. And every time we get a little more background on one of these known TOS legacy characters, I get really excited because thus far, whether it alters canon or it adds to canon, it still respects canon, always. Which means it respects the audience. There's nothing worse than loving a show and investing so much into it, and then somebody does something that just is just like, it's so insulting to the audience. So that's like not happening here at all. And I love that, and I'm grateful for it.
Thank you. A lot of people work there's a lot of coordination to, you know, done by many people to get to what you're talking about.
So I'm in this week's episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people work on that to get to that, where we don't shit on canon. Nice, Kurtzman. Mm-hmm. Nice, Kurtzman.
Yeah. Whatever.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Whatever. He doesn't care.
No.
He probably hasn't even watched any of the old shows or series or anything. He's just running the ship, and I don't know.
He claims to be a major, major fan in the interview. Like, he talks a lot about, like, he would watch all the episodes repeatedly, and, yeah.
All right, so you wake up in the morning, you look outside, and you realize that someone took a shit on the hood of your car.
Amber Heard?
Amber Heard, you know, there's a sign that says Amber Heard was here, and there's a turd on the hood of your car. Okay. And you run into the other room and you tell your wife, you know, Amber Heard took a shit on the hood of my car. And her response is, yes, but is she shitting on it right now?
Yeah. Or we installed on the
Okay. That was my takeaway. It's like, okay, so you're not shitting on canon right now. Fine. But there's already shit all over it from the last 5 years. So what difference does it make?
Yeah, yeah. What's one more layer of shit on top of
I would like to hear an interview from Kathleen Kennedy, what she thinks about the Star Wars series, because I have a feeling her and Kurtzman are together.
Respecting canon?
Yeah, respecting canon.
Yeah.
Shacking up. doing the pipe maneuver. So.
They've literally got a shack somewhere and over the
bed. It's in Pound Town.
Yeah, and over the bed, it says "fuck canon" on it, and that's where they hang out.
Literally. Yeah.
You see these old books and movies? We're just gonna toss them out, and we're gonna make our own crap. So
let me take a minute and write the ship for a minute. I am happy that they are respecting canon right now, for the most part. But I haven't forgotten about the other
stuff.
There
you go.
I'll just leave it that
way. Never forget.
Never forget. Never forget. That's right.
Never surrender.
Never. Never give up. Never surrender.
By Grothar's hammer.
Oh, this reminds me so much. Saying that, right? Like, and where's Guy? Yeah. Where's Guy on the bridge? As in Sam Kirk. Where is Sam Kirk? There's a scene this week with Sam Kirk, and he is literally... He's the brother of James T. Kirk, and he is conflict averse.
Yeah. In the Kurtzman interview, they do say Galaxy Quest is the best Star Trek movie of all time.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It is, you know.
I mean,
I love Galaxy Quest.
Wrong.
So. Yeah. And I would love to see something like that, but... And I wish the Orville was more Galaxy Quest than trying to copy TNG.
It used to be.
Man, these last two episodes, it's like, I like the first episode, but now the second episode, it's like, okay, let's have some jokes here.
Not one, huh? I haven't seen the other two, so not one yet, huh?
No, there were a couple, but it's not what it's supposed to be still.
Yeah.
Was it the great... Was it the great Snoop Dogg who said, "Don't get high on your own supply"? Because that's what happened to Orville.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Obi-Wan this week?
Obi-Wan has become very hit and miss for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this episode was a miss.
Yeah, like a total, total miss.
I have to rewatch them. They're all kind of blending together in my head at this point.
In your head, like, Obi-Wan is walking with a little girl, but it's not a little girl. It's the first servant. And next thing you know, it's they're just kind of mashed.
Oh, wait, okay. So just one thing about Obi-Wan. scene with the trench coat. It's like, what the hell was that? This is like...
Yeah. Yes.
This is like when kids want to sneak into the movie theater. It's like, let's just be two kids in a trench coat and we'll look like an adult. That's what that reminded me of.
And everybody's clean shaven there. And he has this long, scraggly beard. Yeah. And he's walking through there. And everybody's like looking at him like, what is going on over here?
right.
Yeah.
What kind of security does the Empire have? Like, you guys not have radar or anything? See, this ship just, like, popped into this planet.
It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, stormtroopers can't shoot either. They can't aim.
I guess
they
don't have radar.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
That's the other thing. Those were the same model speeder that we saw on Hoth.
Okay, yeah. And how did they get three people in there?
But now, and suddenly they hover?
Yeah.
They could just stop and hover?
Yeah, stop on a dime and hover.
Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't look right to me. It looked odd.
Well, the action scenes are off. Like, I don't know. It's just,
maybe
Jedi here and Sith, and they're not doing any cool Jedi and Sith things.
Yeah. Well, he's supposed to be rusty, right? Maybe, I don't know. I haven't seen this, so maybe it's not an Obi-Wan scene. But I guess the reason they don't have radar is because this is Kathleen Kennedy's Star Wars, and they have Gaydar. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Oh my God, Chad.
didn't.
Let's move on to the
I just killed
person.
I just
let's
killed us, on. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need the prices right, like the sound beat where it's like
and Chad gets kicked from the chat. Okay. Yeah. All right, thanks, Jazz. Appreciate it. We'll put you back on mute. Yeah. Thank you for all your feedback, and we're going to move over to Lumberjack Daryl, everybody's favorite Lumberjack. How's it going, man?
Oh, not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. So what'd you think of this week's show, Strange New Worlds?
Loved it. I'm surprised they pushed the envelope that far this week. I thought they were going to save the can and say, hey, look, we have this technological thing to help you guys out. But I'm glad they pushed the envelope to give it some controversy, and like you guys were saying earlier, how they see things is different from us. Mm-hmm. What we see as wrong, they see as right. I like these kind of episodes that makes you question morality and whatnot.
Yeah. Pike loses.
Yeah.
I mean, the captain fails. You don't get a win at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
And that's life. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's one of the things I actually liked about the episode as well.
Yeah, one thing I'm fine with Strange New World, it's very much like the original series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
You know what? That's a good bridge to one of the clips that we've got.
All right.
For Lumberjack Daryl. Let's do the one about TOS characters.
More TOS characters. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. We're going to play a clip
let's
for
do
you.
That one. And then you can react, Daryl.
At all about the continued adventures of the Enterprise?
I guess the best tease that I could give you is that there are obviously characters who exist on TOS who are not yet on the show.
Yeah.
So given that there's a kind of 5-year window before Kirk would have taken over the Enterprise.
Yes.
5 or 7. I've lost track. Others may show up.
Okay. All right.
Seems like a fair tease.
Things are turning in my head. Yeah. Okay.
Poor Will Wheaton about how to blew a gasket right there with that one. If you go back and watch that, he just about blew a fucking gasket. So now Kirksman doesn't even know how long it is until until Kirk takes over the Enterprise. He forgot. So there goes canon. 5-7 years, whatever. Yeah. 6 months, doesn't matter. It's all the same.
So what do you think about that, Lumberjack Daryl? TOS characters.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, the thing is, though, it's like you have Ensign Uhura right from the get-go. Yep. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. They already talk of bringing Kirk in for season two. So it's like we're probably going to see Old Man Bones. We're probably going to see like a young Chekhov at some point in Starfleet Academy or something. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Sulu. He's going to come in and pilot. I would like to see him have a rivalry with the helmsman of the current Enterprise, saying like she's the best pilot in Starfleet, and Sulu's like, hold my beer,
right?
And I'd like to see Scotty sort of apprenticeship under the Andorian hammer.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, that'd be an interesting.
Let me teach you how to be surly.
The Scotsman and the hammer. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. And like how Scotty's always said, look, I'm a miracle worker type thing. It's like you give him how long it would take, then you just subtract it by what I think it's like two or something like that.
Yeah.
I like to, because I like to see they could bring in Scotty even just a recurring episode and sort of like an apprenticeship thing like they're doing with Uhura. That'd be fun.
So I made this prediction a while back that what they really want to do at Paramount is reboot everything from scratch, reboot the whole nine yards. Right. So if Strange New Worlds is a success and they take off, then they're going to reboot TOS with a whole new cast and let that take off as well. And we're going to re-see a modern day take on TOS with Kirk and the entire crew.
That's why I pulled that clip.
Yeah.
Because I remembered you saying that.
Yeah. I've said that for a while now. So I guess the question now is, it sounds like Daryl's okay with that, and Daryl wants to see that in some way, shape, or form. And frankly, if Strange New Worlds continues on this path of just nailing it every single week, why wouldn't we want to see that for TOS?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we want to see a continuation of that?
Well, to me, it sort of makes sense. Like, to me, I already see, like, this, with the introduction of Discovery, that this is its own separate timeline. Like, it fits, but it's its own separate thing, because like I said, like from the get-go, it's like, look at the Enterprise, it's bigger than how it was originally was.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
so it's like it parallels, but it's still its own separate thing. So like you'll see these little things that things aren't canon, which I'm okay with, because well, it's just it helps with the story. Like, thing is though, like TOS is still its own thing. If you like the old stuff, it's still there. They're adding some new stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay with it too. It's like,
well, from the standpoint of technology and the way things look and the way a modern production really has to be in order for anybody to really watch it, that in itself makes you have to change things in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I saw a YouTube clip about some guy took the old Enterprise and it's everything's the same, but they just updated the look. Like, the Enterprise looks like it was in the 60s, but they just upgraded the lighting and the lighting and updated to modern effects, and it looked quite nice.
Yeah
But then again, this new iteration of the Enterprise, I like it. It's just they mix the NX with the motion picture Enterprise and mash them together. So
I like the rooms. Pike's room is just gorgeous with that fireplace. And then, of course, even Uhura's quarters, where she's got a cubby hole in the wall, that's a beautiful it's a beautiful room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she shares it with 25 other recruits.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, her shelf.
Yeah, her shelf, yeah.
Yeah. There's a gang shower in there like it's a prison.
Right. Like Starship Troopers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's still pretty. Yeah. It's still pretty.
Everything's co-ed.
It does. The whole set of this show of Enterprise and Strange New Worlds does make the Orville look dated already, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
In comparison, the Orville really looks like TNG from the 90s. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's what they were going for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what they were going for.
Jinx, 1-10.
I will say this was a news story I didn't put in. But recently, the showrunner for Discovery did an interview about Discovery Season 5, and she straight out said that they don't feel any competition from Strange New Worlds, or that they need to make any drastic changes. that, you know, these shows are different by design. So, you know, disco's going to disco.
And, you know, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No competition.
No competition, my right. ass. But the only reason there's no competition is because it's on at different times. If Strange New Worlds and disco were airing at the same time, nobody would be watching disco at the WWE. Yeah. Well, some people would be.
You know what? It's like when you're dating a girl and you go to her house for the first time, you meet her sister. And her sister's hotter than she is, but she's like, I don't feel any competition. I'm not in competition with my sister. Okay. Whatever you got to tell yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there we go.
Cool. Daryl, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it as always. Thanks, Daryl. You're always around.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl.
So we sure appreciate you coming and the feedback. Yeah. And he's muted again.
We did have a question from Duval on Facebook.
Okay.
And he says, what is your favorite non-Trek show or movie featuring any Star Trek series cast member? I mean, there's a lot. I mean, Patrick Stewart is in about every other thing. So.
Let's see. Well, read the question again.
What is your favorite non-Trek show or movie featuring any of the Star Trek series cast members?
I'm going to go with Battlestar Galactica. There were a couple of Trek crossovers actors in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I rewatched that earlier this year and it
holds up, huh?
It holds up. Yeah.
It holds up well.
It holds up. And you know it holds up when you're getting towards the end and you're like, it's ending soon.
Yep.
There's no more of it.
Yep. I guess I'd say Star Trek SG-1. Because there are
Star
a lot
Trek
of...
SG-1.
Yeah, no, Stargate. Sorry. Jesus. Stargate SG-1. Because there's a lot of.
No, I think they want to know about good shows.
Yeah. Babylon 5 would probably be number 2 because Chekhov is in Babylon 5 quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chekhov is in there quite a bit. Although, man, that guy cannot act worth a shit. Walter wow. Koenig can't act. I'm sorry.
Wow. Chad is wrong at gmail.com. Chad is wrong at gmail.com.
Yeah.
Send us the feedback. Let us know what we already know that
go
Chad
watch,
is wrong.
Go watch anything he's been in.
Huh. I'm trying to think of like one that I would go with. You know, Green Room. With Patrick Stewart, and it's also got what's his name? Anton Yelchin, isn't it? And man, like, if you want to see Patrick Stewart be a neo-Nazi, that's a great movie, and it's very well done, and he is intimidating, and just great, great film.
Yeah, I've never seen a trailer for that. I don't think I ever watched it, but yeah, I'll have to put that on my list and go back and watch
it. It's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I have to change my answer. I'm going to have to go with the movie Inner Space, which I watched last week, that has Robert Picardo.
Nice. There you go.
Robert Picardo playing, I think he's supposed to be like an Arab cowboy or something. I don't know. He was dressed as a cowboy. He had a weird accent.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if he was supposed to be an Arab or an Eastern European. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was an accent. He couldn't do whatever it was.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah.
I do recall that. Funny. Or how about Brent Spiner as the scientist in Will Smith's movies, Welcome to Earth. You know, Independence Day.
Independence Day. Yeah. The franchise Will Smith gave up on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, we all gave up on that franchise at some point.
Yeah, we did.
I gave up on Will Smith.
There you go. Tell you what, since we got a little bit of time, let's do one last clip, just the three of us.
Okay.
Let's do the crossovers one, and we can react to that.
All right, here we go.
Can we look forward to any crossovers?
Yes.
I'm not following that up because the way you answered that was incredible. Oh, I want to follow that up so much. But the way you answered that tells me that the answer to any follow-up is I'm not telling you.
That's exactly
so
right.
So we're going to, yes, I'm just exactly going right. to, I'm just going to go ahead and
he's
just save in what that this is. Incredible yeah. excitement I'm currently feeling. Okay.
His head literally explode. Yeah, he, his yeah. head literally explodes that, at that moment. That's it, right? Yeah. His head just exploded. Poor guy.
So crossovers.
Well, I mean, unless they bring Discovery back to the time that it's supposed to be from, they can't really cross over with that one unless it's a flashback episode.
That's what it'll
the
be.
The only other show taking place in that time period would be Section 31, whenever they decide they're actually going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean,
the only thing I mean, could do
what is a crossover exactly? I mean, technically, every time they bring in a character from TOS, it's a crossover, kind
of. Yeah, it's not really. Yeah, but no. I would think I would define a crossover as a character from one of these shows showing up as that same character from another one of these shows. That's what I would call a crossover. Yeah. So I think there's two things they could be doing here to where he says yes there and doesn't worry about it. Number one, it's when Discovery comes back, right? And maybe Burnham doesn't come back as part of that. Maybe she dies. Because you can't have this open edge thing with a sister still anymore. You just can't, right? They've retconned it enough and kind of jimmy it in there with a 2x4 and a sledgehammer enough. So I think that's the one thing that they could do. The other thing they could do is honestly the Section 31 thing could wind up being what they initially thought they were going to do with Discovery, making it an anthology show where it's a little different every season. But they could do that with Michelle Yeoh, where they are literally traveling through time, not with Wesley the time traveler, please God no. But they are traveling through time trying to fix things. It could be the start of the temporal agency somehow that she gets looped into it. Maybe when she goes back in time, when they send her through that portal, it's not exactly where she was supposed to go and she whatever, you know. So it could be something like that. And I think that would be kind of cool considering Michelle Yeoh just did a movie called Everything, Everywhere, All the Time or whatever the hell that movie was called where she's literally traveling through time or traveling through dimensions playing the same person.
You could very easily use Wesley as like the Nick Fury to gather everyone together in different timelines.
Please
timeline.
Don't. Please don't.
Oh, you're killing
please
me. That's
don't.
Worse than my joke earlier about radar and Star Wars. Oh.
But doesn't it fit? Like you can see it.
Yeah, you can see them being that fucking stupid. Sorry. You can see them being that stupid. Yeah. Almost did it. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
That's bad. Please don't do that.
Don't do that.
Well, here's the thing. In this interview, there's a point where Will Wheaton says, you know, you do have a character who's outside of time and space who could easily.
Of course
he did.
Of course he did.
God.
Yeah.
He's Wesley freaking Crusher. He's not Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
He's actually Wesley Crusher. He really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
All right. We have any voicemails or any other feedback?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
We've right. got voicemails. We've got feedback over on the coffee account. It's
all right. Let's go through it.
So Scott changed his name over there to If Scott Can, You Can. Bought a coffee for TrekCast.
Thank you.
Did that 12 hours ago. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, sir. And then for his comment, he wrote three words, Pike hair contest.
There you go.
We need one of those.
I'm gonna lose.
I don't know. You got enough down here. I don't know.
That's true.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
Trim mine myself, but little Ocho's looking good with his goatee.
I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so that's the feedback over on the coffee account. We didn't have any emails, but we do have some voicemails. I know we have at least one.
Okay.
Oh, and then I got a voice. This is funny. I almost should play this. I got a voicemail from like some tax collection debt. Like, if have debt or you owe taxes, we can help. It's like, how the hell did they get this number for that?
Yeah, we don't need that voicemail, dude. That's fine.
Funny. Anyway, okay. Like my Home Depot voicemail. Here we go.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Pack Led Review, Episode 6 of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. List us where suffering cannot reach. Pike have big hair! That has been another Pack Led Review.
Perfect.
I think there's another one here. I don't know. Let's play this one. This one's only 14 seconds. No, it's when he hung up or something and it came through again. All right, okay. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Pike had big hair and that's it.
That's it. That was the story.
I love those Packlet reviews.
Love it.
Good stuff. Okay.
I used one as a clip on social media and people loved it.
So good.
It worked out. Yeah.
Great. It's great.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Awesome.
I think we've done it.
So I went and saw the new Jurassic Park last night.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's basically my response. It's very okay.
Is it the final one?
Yeah, allegedly.
Please.
Yeah. There's no end credit scene, everybody, so if you do go see it, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Nick Fury's not trying to assemble the Dinosaur Avengers.
Dinobots.
I can't tell you how many people brought small children and how many of those children were crying and had to be taken out of the theater.
Oh, no.
I mean, people are stupid. They really are.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So I finally go see Top Gun tonight. So there's that.
Actually, oh, nice.
It's like 3:15, like 3 hours from now. So
nice. Yeah.
No, yeah. It's good.
Yeah, looking forward to
Daniel,
it.
Daniel, did you see it?
Not yet. I want to.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I'll probably go. Do I need to see the first one? Because I haven't seen the first one since like the 80s. So I don't remember it.
You don't need to, but I mean, it's on Netflix. It's on Tubi.
I know, but in the time that I would have some time to go watch it today, but I don't have time to watch both movies today.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to go see it, then I would just need to go see it.
You know what? No, you don't need to see it. They do enough, exposition to,
okay,
you know, let you know what happened in the past. So it's
perfect.
Fine.
Yeah.
I've probably seen Top Gun half a dozen times, so I wouldn't need to go and see it again just to watch this movie. But it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I remember when Top Gun was a thing and Days of Thunder was a thing, and every Costco, Sam's Club, whatever they were at the time, what was the Circuit City, Montgomery Ward type places you'd go into, would have the TVs set up with all the surround sound systems trying to just completely outdo one another with scenes from both of those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we grew up in different areas. The Costco's in my area. A lot of Blood In and Blood Out, American Me. Stand and Deliver, Stand By Me. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's what we had. A lot of Edward James Olmos just on that screen all the time.
Ah, gotcha. La Bamba. Yeah.
La Bamba, yeah. with noted Filipino actor playing a Mexican.
Who's Filipino actor playing a Mexican?
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Oh, he's Filipino? I had no idea.
Yeah, he's not Latin at all.
He's done so well with that, you wouldn't know.
I know.
I had no idea.
We've embraced him. We've just accepted it.
Yep. Just accept it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, gentlemen?
I think we're good.
Yeah, let's give out the phone number. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can call TrekCast at 1-816-287-0448. 1-816-287-0448. Operators are not standing by. There's no one sitting by the phone to take your call. It's a mailbox only. Leave us a message and we will probably play it on the show.
There you go.
Yep, more than likely we will. Also, follow us on all of our social media accounts, TrekCast TNG everywhere, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, the Facebook has its own group. Make sure you get in on that. Lots of stuff happens there. And, of course, on the Discord, which I will actually link to the YouTube channel this time because apparently I haven't been doing that. Sorry.
The minute we said that that was pretty much it and that we were going to start reading the number, our YouTube views just, like, tanked. Like, people were like, okay, we're done.
Well, yeah, we said we're done.
Yeah, we said we're done. It was great.
That's funny.
There's still some people watching, so thank you, you people who are watching.
Thanks, thanks for hanging on.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, sounds good, guys. We will see you here next week.
Bye.
See ya.
Well, there you have it, another episode in the can. Check us out at trekcast.com. Also, if you would, please subscribe to us via iTunes. Leave those reviews, subscribe to us, we'll get some numbers, get up the list, get more listeners, do more shows, have more fun. But for now, we're all done. So live long and prosper, and we'll see you next week.
Program complete.